Welcome to the Wedding Street Podcast. Seeking the stillness amongst the chaos.
Wahey! Danny boy!
Howdy, howdy.
It's been a long time since we've spoken last.
Oh, weeks and weeks and months and months.
Have you missed me?
Like a hole in the head? No, I've missed you.
Well, I should hope so.
yeah, I missed you, Robert.
What's new?
I've been away. I had a 11-day trip to Scotland.
How was that?
Incredible. Got very lucky with the weather. Only one day rain, and yet the scenery was outstanding.
Where exactly did you go?
On the way up, I actually popped to see David Scholes.
Yeah. I remember on your Instagram.
Yeah, so popping out a beer with him, had a look at his office, and yeah, he's above this really, really cool bar. Very dangerous. Craft
you
ales.
You said that you wouldn't be having beers. Did you manage to have one or two?
I had one, but I had to drive. Supposedly England isn't five and drive like Wales. It's not even one and drive, I think. And I think Scotland's even worse than that. Zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance.
So I had one, but I had a bit of food and I had an hour's walk around.
Cool.
We stopped off in Lake Windermere, the Lake District.
Okay, yeah, but that's still in England, huh?
Yeah, still in England, but very beautiful, but very busy because the sun was out.
Okay.
And then on to Scotland, Loch Lomond, very nice.
Nice.
Then up to Glencoe, beautiful.
Yeah.
One morning, driving onto Ben Nevis, I had to stop because the mist coming off and the light was insane.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and you just think, oh, right, I need a bride and groom or a couple. I felt like just running in front of the road and stopping traffic, just drag people out, you know?
You had the fabulous Holly with you though, no?
Yeah, but that's just one person, right?
That's all right.
Yeah, I could have found her a stunt guy.
You could have done a double exposure. Just get her to shift half a meter to the left.
Mate, I wasn't looking good that time of morning.
No.
I had to spend about a week in Photoshop to sort myself out.
So what amazing things did you learn about Scotland then?
People, great scenery. Like I've been to New Zealand and equally on par, I'd say.
Yeah, it's an amazing spot, isn't it?
Yeah, you come around corner, you know, every corner, and it's just like, wow, wow, wow. So obviously that I went the West Coast Highlands.
Yeah.
Walked up Ben Nevis.
Okay.
Which was a challenge, but it took us 5 hours 40, I think.
Oh, that's not too bad.
With a wee little stop at the top. And
that's
yeah, people
not too bad.
Definitely underestimate it.
Yeah. What have they got at the top? Have they got a restaurant or something?
No, in Snowdonia, they got a cafe, which I thought people were joking about, but they really do.
Oh, okay.
But there's a train up as well. But yeah, there's nothing up the top, just a bit of old kind of ruins, really.
Okay, yeah. That's the thing I love the most about hiking here is the restaurant or the cafe at the top.
Yeah.
You can have the beer once you arrive at the
exactly.
summit.
Exactly. Gives you an impetus to get up there.
And quickly as well.
But yeah, no, because obviously it's the highest mountain in the UK. I think it's 1,340 meters above sea level.
Okay.
Which I know you've done Everest Base Camp, which I think is 5,000 meters, right?
5,365.
There we go. And Everest is 8,000, the top of Everest. So
yeah, a bit more than that. Yeah, we went up to six something, I think, in the end.
All right. That's amazing. Because when I Googled that after walking up there, I was just like, all right,
well,
I just walked up a little hill.
It's very true.
Yeah. But no, beautiful scenery. I went another good 20-mile walk one day. A really quiet place. The best thing about Scotland is one road into places and then one road out.
And you get these little pull-in sections.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere else.
Yeah.
And then you just come to the end of the world, the end of the road. But yeah, we walked 20 miles one day. It's a local lady. We stayed in an Airbnb in her house, which was great. She told us about this Blackwater, I think it's Blackwater Reservoir, built in the early 1900s. And you literally walk and walk and walk, and there's nothing or nobody for hours, a couple of hours on end, and you get quite close to the, like, obviously the built reservoir wall. There's 30 gravestones. So supposedly in 1905, they had all these, they basically called them scallies from Ireland, who were misfits and obviously probably got in a bit of trouble back home. They were sent over there basically to build the reservoir and they all died there.
And that sounds very similar to Van Diemen's Land in Tasmania.
Yeah, it was eerie and just like, you know, it's one of them moments you get there and you're just reading the gravestones and you just, and the plaque, and it's just like, wow, like over 100 years ago. There was one lady as well, and then one gravestone which had no name. So, yeah, I love all that. These things make you think about life and just thinking, yeah, over 100 years ago, these people were here and they were stuck here for life until they died, which is insane. Yeah.
It is insane. It is insane.
Great trip. Went on to after Glencoe, Apple Cross, Plockton, the Isle of Skye. Really good trip.
That sounds great, man. That sounds great. Do you know what the national animal is of Scotland?
The human, is that right?
The what?
The human.
The human? No. The national animal. We're not animals.
Oh, some of us are. Highland cow?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's the unicorn.
What? Come on.
It's true. It's true.
I didn't see any, though.
But you definitely saw a redhead.
I saw a few redheads.
The highest proportion of redheads in the world.
Yeah.
Scotland.
And the Highland cow are all redheads as well.
Ah, that's true, actually. Yeah.
So you put two and two together there and see see how things were bred back in the day.
Indeed. Those are all of my fun facts of Scotland for you. Golf was invented in Scotland. Did you know that?
I know it's big in Scotland.
Yeah, in St. Andrews, wasn't it? Mm. Did you play around?
No, it spoils a good walk for me, golf, to be honest.
Yeah. Have you actually ever played golf?
9 holes a few times.
Yeah.
I actually putted. I actually putted from the sand bunker one straight in the hole.
Oh, nice.
And that was my pinnacle. I reached the top and then I retired.
I've just played the, what's it, Crazy Golf?
Yeah, I prefer that.
Myself and Nick have a great laugh playing that. She usually beats me, but yeah, can't complain. Did you bring anything back from Scotland, by the way? Sorry, let me rephrase that. Did you bring me anything back from Scotland?
A wee dram. I went to the Isle of Skye, so I went to Talisker, or whatever.
That's actually my favourite whiskey.
Yeah, Talisker. It's good. It's good, but...
It's a fantastic one. The 10. Is it the 10 or the 12?
12.
It's the 12, isn't it? Yeah. Because I tried the 12 and I loved it and I thought, ooh... I'd say the 20 or the 30 will be nice. Yeah. And I tried it once in a bar and I didn't like it. No. I didn't like it as much as the 12. I thought the 12 was fantastic.
Yeah, sometimes it can give it a bit more heat and a bit more oomph, which it depends what you prefer really, doesn't it? So how have you been? Been up to much?
Since the last time we spoke, not much. I've gone back to the office. Going back to the office, I need to do some stuff in the lab, use all the equipment there, so I can't really do that at home. Ilari has grown somewhat in the last week or two.
You're feeding her well.
Yes. I had a triathlon last weekend.
Oh yeah, how did that go?
Good, it went according to plan, so I'm really quite happy, and then I've got another one tomorrow. No, sorry, Sunday.
It's good it's all going ahead though.
Well, yeah, so these are really small ones in comparison to the Ironmans.
Yeah.
Because all of the Ironmans have been cancelled. So these are sort of last minute events after my cancellation. I think it should have actually been this weekend, the Ironman. Oh. So I'm doing that instead of doing nothing.
Yeah.
And this will be the last one now on Sunday. And then it will be a little bit of a break, probably 2-3 weeks break. And then back into full training again for next year.
Serious hardcore training, Rob.
Indeed. Any other news besides?
I won the lottery, forgot to mention.
Oh, so you can employ me now?
I'd love to employ you. Yeah, you would pretty much do everything for me.
Right. If the wage matches, then I'm perfectly fine with that.
What would I do? I'd take pictures, I'd edit my favorite 50, and that'd be it. I wouldn't do anything else. I'd be Rob. Well,
and I do the rest.
Sort that out, do this, do that. And then, I wouldn't do much.
I mean, all you need to do is give me the correct salary, say please and thank you, and I am your man.
I'd never forget my manners. Vitally important. If I became the richest Dan in the world, I would still, please thank people and give them a drink. Come and have a drink with me. I remember doing photos at for Cheltenham Racecourse, and I was given an itinerary to go and take pictures with all the very super duper rich people. I was on the winning post there to go and take photos of an Irish guy, Seamus. Did I mention this?
No.
So, went to his box, had a sit-down meal and three-course dinner. They got me sloshed and he gave me a wad of cash and a bottle of aftershave and a thank you card. And I was working for the race course, so I wasn't doing it for him. And
what?
Yeah. Got me absolutely drunk talking about rugby and with about 12 of his mates on the winning post.
What an absolute legend.
Exactly. And he was obviously very, very minted, but genuinely, oh, what an awesome guy.
Oh,
what an awesome
fantastic
bunch of people. And yeah, they had money because they own the box on the winning post.
Wow.
Cheltenham Racecourse.
Wow.
And they were all making a fuss of me, just the photographer.
So basically they stole your time when you should have been
photographing. They completely stole my time. And then I was pretty sloshed coming out of there. And then, yeah, it's just like that.
Oh man, you gotta love that.
Yeah, it's great.
Have you been to Galway races at all in Ireland?
No, I've been to the Carrara ones in Dublin.
Okay, yeah, because the Galway races are pretty big. I actually haven't been. So I've been around Galway, obviously, around the time where the races have been on, because the atmosphere around the town is absolutely electric.
Mm.
Have you ever been to Galway?
Yes, on a rugby tour.
Okay, so you know what sort of a town it's like. It's a city, right?
Yeah,
it's a big city, but it has the feeling of a small town.
Yeah.
And they have music on the streets, they have acts, they have all sorts of buskers going on. But around the races, everybody's out on those streets, on the main streets in Galway, drinking, having a laugh, down at the Spanish Arch. And the atmosphere is just absolutely amazing. I can highly, highly recommend it. But I need to go to the races once, because I've always just hung around the town and had the crack with everybody in the bars.
Yeah.
But the races apparently are fantastic.
Yeah. Cheltenham races is full of Irish, mate.
Yeah, but the Irish, they're big into their racing, you know, breeding the race horses and stuff like that. That's a big business in Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I've been offered tickets to Wales Island, mate.
No way.
So if you'd like to come and cheer on Wales with me.
Where is it in the Principality?
Yeah, Cardiff.
No way. That's pretty cool, dude.
Well, yeah, I've just offered you live on podcast FM.
That sounds pretty damn good to me, amigo.
Well, get over here then. There's your excuse.
Right. I might have to do something about that, yeah. And what about photography-wise? Have you done any street in the last few weeks? Did you do anything over in Scotland? But it's not really the place for street, if I'm honest.
It is, mate. I used my phone.
Right, okay.
I didn't use my camera. I took a camera, didn't use it. I used my phone. And I come back with some, I think, decent street photography images.
Okay.
But
why didn't you bring the Fuji?
I did, but I didn't take it out. Because as you mentioned, it's you're in, you know, pretty quiet places and things.
Yeah.
My phone then is just easier to whip out and discreetly take pictures. And I didn't do it much. It was just if I saw something cool as I'm doing what I'm doing, I wouldn't purposely go out to take photos.
I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, I come back with about 8 images of street photography on my phone, which I've posted a few on my Instagram. So,
oh, have you? Yeah. I haven't seen anything.
No, you just don't follow me, do you?
Well, I do, but I'm just trying to stay away from social media.
Yeah, I switched mine off for the last few days, actually, because it was, I don't know, you know what it's like.
Yeah. Have you got Netflix?
Yes.
The Social Dilemma.
Is it good?
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic.
You mean?
It's absolutely fantastic. Check it out. I'm not going to say anything about it. It says everything in the docu.
There we go.
So it's
that's my
it's
Friday
amazing.
Evening sorted.
Let's get it sorted.
And then, yeah, taking pictures with your phone is quite good because you use the volume control as the shutter.
Mm-hmm.
To take the shutter. Mm-hmm. So that's very handy.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is.
So yeah, I'm due a new one. My phone started playing up lately. It's just freezes.
Yeah, I'm the same actually. Every time I kind of quickly want to take a picture, the camera just freezes for some reason. Does yours do that? No,
the camera's fine. When I step out of my Wi-Fi to like 4G, it'll just, everything will hold up for like a 10 second delay. It's just weird. Okay. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. They know my contract's up probably, and they're sending that bug like I think Microsoft used to do to your computers.
Yeah.
After a year, they'd go, I'm going to slow down your computer, so you buy a new one.
Yeah.
You boss,
that's what Apple
steward.
Were doing, weren't they? Apple were doing that with the... they were saying that it's just to aid in battery life on older devices.
Yeah.
And they were found out, and then they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, it's not cool.
No, it's not cool. But I had lots of fun in my lab there last week. I was automating, controlling measurement equipment in the lab. So normally you need a Linux or a Windows machine for that sort of stuff. So
this is Irish,
just
Gaelic.
Geek language, but it just means I can control all of my measurement equipment in the lab from the laptop and from the Mac as well, which makes it even more special. I don't need to dual boot into a Windows or a Linux machine anymore.
Wow, you're so lucky you're married.
It's otherwise amazing,
you'd never have another girlfriend.
Hey, it makes me very, very, very happy.
I can imagine your Tinder profile now.
Likes to control measurement equipment in the laboratory with a Mac.
Single for the rest of your days.
Yeah. Anyways. So what else? What else? Give us some more news.
News. I like donkeys. Ones with three legs.
A wonky. Anyways, Dan, we need to stop waffling and get on to the more important topics. That is talking to our guest.
Aha. Whom is our guest?
Well, I'm actually really excited about this one because we both know her very well. She is very well known in the industry. She is an awesome person. She comes all the way from Poland and she lives in Wales. Have you guessed yet?
The Queen of Cardiff.
The Queen of Cardiff, indeed. Yes. I'm not even sure she'd be impressed with that title,
no,
the Queen
of
Cardiff.
I think she'll give me a slap over the airwaves.
Aga Tomasek.
Hey.
I don't even know if I pronounce her second name correctly.
Yeah,
Tomasek.
I always say it wrong.
If we're saying it wrong, but you know. But anyways, yeah. No, I'm actually really excited to talk to Aga, and we should probably just get right to it. What do you reckon?
Let's bring it on, dude.
Let's get Aga on.
Welcome to the Waiting Street Podcast. Seeking the stillness amongst the chaos.
Wahey!
Top of the morning to you.
Well, how's things, Aga?
Very good, thank you.
Very good, very
hello,
good.
Hello, Aga.
Hello,
how are
hello,
you?
Hello. Good, good.
How's Wales?
Yeah, Wales is not exactly sunny. We've got a lovely overcast day, you know, getting ready for summer, that kind of thing.
That sounds like home to me.
Yes. How is Zurich?
Zurich is not too bad. Thankfully, I'm living in Bern, so it's not too bad.
Right.
No, it's not too bad. Weather's been pretty dreadful in the last while, but it's okay now. Yeah. I guess all you guys are stuck at home, just like the rest of the world.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Dan, are you with parents? Are you in Bridgend or are you in
Cheltenham? No, I'm in Cheltenham. They would have kicked me out long ago if I had been. My dad would have. My mum would have enjoyed it. I'd have had my meals cooked for me, my ironing done.
Life would be so easy, wouldn't it?
No, you've been absolutely spoiled.
Oh, totally.
You know, when I come over, I'm going to have... Where am I going to stay? Am I going to stay in Wales or am I going to stay in Cheltenham?
You're going to be so spoiled being hosted by everybody.
Either or.
I mean, I'm not going to go all that way to go to Cheltenham. I'm not... I was more... I think you're going to have to come and meet us somewhere in Wales, Danny boy.
Cheltenham's really nice.
Cheltenham's lovely.
Yeah, that's why I left.
Fair enough.
Cheltenham's really lovely.
Fair enough.
Wales is beautiful. You can't beat Wales. I'm 100% passionate Welshman, but I live in England.
Yeah, I would love to be Welsh. It's something to be proud of, guys, really.
Yeah, well, we'll give him an interview, shall we, Aga? See if he passes the test.
You said it with a proper Welsh twang. Give him an interview.
Give him an interview, bud. Bloody hell, man. See if he passes it.
How many years have you been in Wales now, Aga?
Let me think. 14. Hang on, 13 and a half. It's my daughter's birthday is coming and she was 5 months old when we moved to Wales. So yeah, 13 and a half years. Wow. And so that's a chunk of life, isn't it?
That is a massive chunk of life.
Yeah.
I've been in Switzerland for exactly the same time. And in the 14 years I've been here, I've learned a new language. And that would be the same as yourself.
Yeah.
I guess fluent. Come on, let's have a look.
Right, I was fluent in Welsh.
You ready? I'll quiz you. Are you ready?
God,
what's
no.
slow? God,
no. No idea. No.
Well, come
don't.
On, it's on the road.
Nothing. It nothing.
Says, it says underneath.
Oh, Araf. Araf.
That's,
There we go.
Fluent.
Hang on, Dan. I had English to actually learn. You know, don't.
Buruglau.
No idea.
We talked about Buruglau.
I know what Buruglau is. Buruglau is basically shite weather.
Yes, rain.
Rain.
Really? Yeah.
Wow. That's such a complicated word for good old rain.
Buruglau. What about lush, Aga?
I don't know. Are you familiar with lush?
did you hear that before, Dan? Aga asked me once if I understood the word lush.
It's because I thought Rob was German. Basically, I met Rob at the workshop and then we met again at Nine Dots, and I could swear, you know, I was all confused. The guy lives in Zurich, you know. I just, for some reason, I had him down as a German man. So there we go, you know, meeting up for dinner before Nine Dots, and we sat there talking about food, and suddenly I just go, oh, something sounds lush. And it just occurred to me that lush might be just like a regional dialect. And I said to Rob, are you familiar with the word lush? And he laughed at me, and he never stopped since.
I never thought I'd look like a German or sound like a German.
You definitely look like one. The big Stein.
You could totally pass for a German.
Well, I got a pair of Lederhosen there about 3 years ago for the Oktoberfest, and I must say I really enjoyed wearing them.
That's for a different podcast, Robert.
Anyways, moving swiftly along.
Right, I need to do some explanation, right?
Go for it.
So lush is a lot of people in Wales say lush, right? Nine Dots is a wedding photographer's conference, because you're talking in riddles now.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, okay.
I don't think there was any need to explain what lush is, though. I think everybody knows what lush is.
Yeah, I think it's pretty widespread now, right?
It's just luscious, right? Luscious.
Yeah, so here you go. If you've got a crush, you'll think he's lush. There's your explanation. And if you get lucky and you hook this person, you capture him or her, you then kutch them.
Okay, now you're talking in complete riddles.
So a kutch is a cuddle or a hug. C-W-T-C-H.
Ah, okay.
I know that.
And also, if you have a dog and he's been a naughty boy or girl, you go tell him to go kutch. There we go. You've learned so much already.
Lovely.
Indeed.
This has been so educational.
Indeed. Well, thanks for that, Dan.
Aga, what are you?
What are you?
What are you? I am a woman.
I think what Dan meant to say was,
Dan.
Who is Aga Tomsek?
And what do you do?
I photograph weddings, and I've been doing this for 11 years. I had a 10th anniversary last year. That was my 10th year in business. So yeah, thank you. Yeah, 11 years of shooting weddings.
Fantastic.
I wasn't born then either.
Yeah, surely you're such a
youngster. I was 40 this month. I celebrated on my own. Mental. I went for a walk. A little walk on my exercise lockdown. That's how I celebrated.
Yeah, but you got lots of birthday cards, at least that.
Oh, man. I broke the world record, I think. I know I shouldn't open them until my birthday, but you've got to check for money, right? And no money.
That basically means, Dan, you are 40 and not 14. Therefore,
right.
No money. Yeah.
In your many years of shooting then, Aga, have you got any funny stories you could share with us?
Oh my goodness. Do you know, no, I've never really seen anything too sort
crazy.
Of, one of the recent weddings back in December, actually, a cake in a warm room, that's December, middle of winter we're talking about, just before they cut it, it melted, it slid off the table. So I've never seen that before. The groom was in absolute pieces, just like rolling off laughter. The bride stood there thinking, well, great, what are we going to eat for dessert now? They were so lovely about it, so down to earth.
I've had the same, actually. The couple, just as they were about to cut, they just fell off the table and they both cracked up laughing as well. They even started eating it off the floor.
I mean, to be fair,
I think you have to, don't you? What else can you do?
Totally.
Yeah, you're not going to cause a scene in the middle of your wedding, are you?
Well, depending, it massively depends what kind of person you are. I have seen scenes in the middle of the wedding because something didn't go quite right.
Sporadically,
but I did. So there is obviously an array of people that we get to work with. Some super laid back and amazing about anything and just going with the flow and laughing, you know, at the hiccups. And there is the type of client or like, you know, parent of a client who the moment something goes wrong, they get quite upset.
Life's too short for that sort of stuff. I don't have any funny story,
but a friend of mine, very good friend, Helen Lisk, check her out, amazing work. She stood with her shoe on the veil of a bride walking up the aisle, so after the wedding, and it almost like ripped her head back. It was absolutely comical. I can't tell the story. She can only tell you the story.
Brilliant.
Maybe you could have her as a guest one day.
Brilliant.
That was one of the most mortifying stories I have ever heard, because can you just imagine? She found herself in the wrong place and tried to kind of catch up with the bride and groom, you know, leaving the church. And that's when that happened. So there's definitely nothing like this ever happened to me, which is, you know,
good.
that's a long way to continue. Exactly. So have you gone into a bit of street as well, Agar, or are you just doing weddings? Have you been out on the streets with your camera doing specific street work?
I have never done that, and I really want to. It's on my bucket list. It's on my bucket list. Ever since I met you and Dom and Liam from York Place Studios and Ross as well. They absolutely massively inspire me, these people, and I would love to do what they do. And one day I will.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you've got pictures of street photography in your home, your new, beautiful, magical, amazing home.
Yes. I massively enjoy, you know, looking at street photography. It makes me think, you know?
Yeah.
It makes me think and feel things. And I just absolutely, massively appreciate it. I know how much hard work it is.
Yeah.
And I think I would be absolutely terrible at it, which is why I really want to give it a go. Do you know, the reason why I haven't done street yet is because of how life panned out. I've bought a house and I've been submerged into, like, you know, renovating it and then styling it and turning it into a home. And that has kind of absorbed my attention. So my hobby has been covered by the interior design. But just before all of this kicked in, I had this kind of, you know, I bought books and I was going to go on a trip. And I will, you know, I will get back to that kind of desire for street photography, because it's definitely there and it just needs the right kind of moment. Totally, man. I would love to.
Yeah, we've already spoken all together about this. It will happen. Absolutely. We will do a trip together and we'll get out on the streets and have a bit of crack and a bit of banter on the way as well.
Sounds great. So, because you guys, so it, when was that? Was that in about February that you went to India?
Start of February, yeah.
Just before all this kicked off, really.
Yeah.
Just before the
craziness.
This is how it was all born. This is a discussion in India, so yeah.
Over a romantic meal.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Have you guys bonded?
We bonded.
Has the bromance been born?
I thought you were going to say something else then. I was like, what? Easy, Tiger.
I haven't introduced him to the leather straps yet.
go easy, Aga, please.
Yeah. I think we got to reel it back again to the topic.
This is before the watershed.
Edit.
No, keep that bit. Juicy bit. People love the juicy bit.
Indeed. No, but what I was going to say was, based on, you know, your work and your eye for detail, like you said, you would suck at it. You'd think you'd suck at it, but I think the absolute opposite.
There's no way.
No, yeah, I really think the absolute opposite, because you've got the eye for it.
And you love colours as well.
I can't imagine. You know, Rob, I'm looking at like your street from the, was it Barcelona? Was it Barcelona or Madrid? Or just your previous work that you've done over the years.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. I don't know. I know that it requires sort of activating another part of your brain to create that kind of work. And this is what I mean by I probably suck, because you know, I have never, usually when you start something new, you're not very good at it. So I fully accept that I would be a crawling little baby.
Not true.
When it comes
not
to
true.
Street food. No,
we'll sort you out. We'll sort you out.
Okay. We'll fully willing to just like dive right into it.
Fantastic. We're going to put you on the
fail,
fast track.
And fail. You've got to be prepared to fail though, right? Whatever you do.
Absolutely.
I found this so hard. My first street photography. Do you know Lee Allison? He's a wedding photographer.
Yeah, I know.
So he came to Cheltenham and I was like, I want to start some street photography. And he had a little Fuji. So we went out around Cheltenham, which I don't advise going to your local town to start off.
No way.
You look like an absolute weirdo.
A weirdo. Mm.
And that's how I felt inside. Everybody's watching me. People I know are going to see me and go, what the hell are you doing?
It affects your brain, doesn't it?
Ah, totally.
We were in Poland actually on for a wedding as a guest, and I thought I'd bring out the camera and do a bit of street work. And all my friends from Ireland were all coming into Poland for the wedding, and I was there outside a Louis Vuitton shop, and they had all of these colourful globes in the window
at
the time.
I'm a little bit scared of where this is going.
I was trying to get the reflection of these colourful globes aligned with the heads of people walking by. And then I got the, I must have been, you know, I had the D750 with me and I wasn't on single shot at that time. I was doing multiple shots. So it was like a machine gun firing away. And my mates came up behind me and they were like, what the f- are you doing?
You look like a mentalist.
An absolute mentalist. You can't explain
you really
to them because
do.
They don't know. They don't understand the genre. They just don't understand it. All they could see was me taking pictures of Louis Vuitton handbags. So I don't know. Crazy
stuff. You need to go somewhere where nobody knows you.
Totally.
No one can ever find you.
Yeah.
We're the biggest anorak you can find and hide.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because you do look like a bit of a weirdo, to be fair.
I bet. I can imagine. Like I said, I've never tried, but I can totally imagine.
The thing is, nobody pays you attention normally, so you can get away with it. But as soon as somebody clocks you and they watch you for any length of time, you look like a weirdo.
I had, in Cheltenham, just before the lockdown, it was the races. So John Lewis were advertising for Cheltenham races. So they had like a big crystal gold horse all dressed up in the window of their shop. And there was a pair of shoes, just random guy's shoes, just sat outside. So I had my camera. I was like, what the hell?
This is a shot, yeah?
Yeah, this is a shot. So I was taking a picture of a horse just in the window. And these two ladies come out from John Lewis and went, can we ask what you're doing? I was like, sure, I'm taking a picture of these horses with somebody's random shoes there. And they were like, oh my God, because they were the marketing designers for the shop window. So they just thought I was trying to, you know, promote it, or I don't even know what they've.
Well, that's the trouble, isn't it? Like you can get kind of into trouble with the police or some sort of, you know, security Steve and things like that when you're doing street. Yep. I must say it has crossed my mind. That you have to be in some way brave to put yourself in those situations. Oh, the waiting time. Like you wait and wait and wait for a shot and you look like some sort of perv. Right?
No, I agree.
So some more so than others, yes.
So quite a few people have asked me about that. Obviously, what's the law? And in the UK, you can take pictures of anybody in a public place. That's children, whatever. Like you refrain away from that. People could come up to you and ask, can you delete that? And you could say no. But obviously, if somebody asked me to delete something, then yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. But not even a police officer can come up to you and tell you to delete it. You'd have to go to court and then, it can go either way. But if it's a private place, then yes, you either need permission or it's a no-no, you know? Mm-hmm. So there are places like shopping centers which are private, so you do have to be careful and obviously ask the questions. You know,
the thing that I stick by always in street photography is simple: don't be a dick. If people don't want their photograph taken, don't take it. If they want it deleted,
delete it.
That's it.
Yeah,
and you will get by. No bother. Smile. Yeah. Have a bit of crack.
Smile. That's right.
You'll get away with it. But anyways, interior design.
Yes.
It's something you are clearly very into at the moment.
Yes,
with
it's a bit of a guilty pleasure, this.
Yeah. Your account, This House We Made,
Instagram,
is really taking off.
It is.
And you can clearly see you have a lot of passion there. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I used to be an architect before becoming a photographer and starting my own business. And I think this kind of interest has obviously been there years and years ago. And, you know, I have a degree in architecture and urban design. And my master thesis was actually on like modern residential architecture, you see. Wow. So obviously I was always interested in the sort of ways of living and ergonomic ways of kind of organizing human's life. This all gotten a little bit brushed under the carpet when I became a photographer and started enjoying just the visual side of it, the color and the composition. And, you know, because it's all really connected. The good thing about design is that if you're into one sort of thing, it's very, very easy to branch out and start, you know, become a jewelry designer or, you know, it's all kind of like when you understand visuals, I'd say fairly easy to sort of take on something new.
Yeah.
And that's what it was with me. You know, I've become a photographer and I don't ever dream about going back to architecture. I'm not tempted. I'm absolutely never doing that. But the moment we gotten the keys to our first house, it felt like it all kicked back in, you know. So yes, I've been reading, looking at stuff. I've been kind of following people, interior designers and architects and all sorts of stylists. And I gotten maybe a bit carried away in a way that my house Insta has got more followers than my work Insta because it feels, tell you why, because it feels like hobby. It's not work. Yeah. I don't do it for money.
Exactly.
I don't do it for promotion. I don't do it for kind of, you know, being patted on the back. It's just for our personal purpose. It's great to look back 2 years back and see, oh, actually, this is what we've started with. And that's where we are now. You know, like I take pleasure in kind of, it's like a visual diary.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, you know, it's gotten me some recognition. And
yeah, but Aga, you're being very modest here. Your house is next level. I've been there. I've seen it. It's awesome.
I tell you something.
It is incredible.
If I was your neighbor, I would be like, you've probably kicked pretty much all of the residents in that street up the ass, you know, to say, listen, paint your fence, clean your windows, and put a few plants in.
I only popped over for tea and I left depressed. I was like, oh, God, life's terrible. I'm going to go back to my little hut now.
Do you know, it feels so lovely to hear this because the house really isn't anything special. This is the first ever property we've ever owned and it was a granny pad, a proper granny pad. So to kind of, you know, it's easy to do something amazing out of something already amazing. It's much harder to do something decent out of something absolutely crap.
Yes.
And that's the kind of the latter that we were dealing with. So it is lovely and it's quite rewarding actually to hear people's praise because, you know, it's really, for all that are listening, it really isn't anything special, but it was much, much worse before.
Yeah. So. No, amazing. Check it out.
We've seen the before and after pictures. You've done a fantastic job. Yeah.
And Sid liked it as well.
Yeah. Sid liked it. Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
He loved it. So Aga.
Hello.
You're a wedding you're a wedding photographer.
Yes, man.
I've seen you in action.
Yeah, I know. It was fun, wasn't it? It was good. I really love second shooting and having a second shooter. If I could, I'd only have a two people company rather than.
Did you guys shoot together?
Yeah. Several times we worked together and we kind of second shot for one another. So we've been on each other's side.
So you've each been each other's boss?
We have each been each other's boss.
Okay, so and we, Dan, how is Aga as being a boss? And Aga, how is Dan being a boss?
Terrible. When I yelled at Aga, I had the worst headache I've ever had.
Well, did you? Were you hungover?
No, I think I missed my morning coffee.
You can't say you were hungover.
I definitely wasn't hungover. But I think I missed my morning coffee because I had to travel down to Cardiff and I just had a headache all day.
Right.
So... But I tried to put on a brave face because it was your wedding.
You put up with it. You did put up with it. I have no recollection of Dan being compromised as my second shooting. So.
How many coffees a day do you drink, Dan?
Two, sometimes three.
Ah, okay. I was going to say, that is one sign of going cold turkey is a headache.
Yeah.
But two or three coffees should be fine.
It's the adrenaline, I think, and the kind of anticipation, the kind of like what's next? Where do I need to be? What do I need to do? Like, I find that is really exhausting. It's more exhausting than like muscle pain. Yeah. This kind of mindset, and I think coffee helps. Coffee and like just staying sort of hydrated and high on calories. Yeah, yeah.
Totally agree. Water. The first one I did was first of all very draining mentally, but physically, I had on the next day what you call it DOMS. Deep, what is it? What is it? Deep, what is it called, Dan? You're a trainer. Deep onset muscle soreness or something like that.
It's just called aching. I don't know who invented that word. It's
DOMS.
DOMS?
Delayed onset muscle
Delayed
soreness.
Delayed onset muscle soreness.
You see, yes, now that I say it, you've heard it before, right?
Yeah, I've definitely heard it. But ache. It only came about 5 years ago. Everybody used to say, I ache, and all of a sudden, I've got DOMS. You're what? Don't
well, as far as I know, we call it the wedding hangover, and it's got nothing to do with drinking alcohol. It's just the kind of reaction of a body.
Just the drain.
After the prolonged 14 hours of adrenaline.
And dancing, Aga, come on. I'm dancing.
And dancing.
I've seen you.
And
I've seen
carrying
you
the gear.
Yeah.
You've got to blend in, man.
Yeah, Aga's fun to work with, Rob.
Oh, and so is Dan. I think we make a good team. I think we do. We make a good team.
Laid back and happy, right?
So this is usually a difficult one to answer, but what makes you, Aga, the wedding photographer?
Right.
When I look at an image from yours, I know it's Aga's work.
Yeah, same.
And the question is, why do I know that? What is it?
Well, hopefully the most obvious is that you'd see the colors and that you'd see my kind of editing style, which is, I think, it's nothing special. It's just really natural and strong and kind of true, genuine colors. But it's actually quite hard to achieve, unlike what some people think. It doesn't quite come out like this from the camera. But I think in terms of like the kind of content of a photo, I believe my style is quite dynamic and happy. You know, there'll be no mood and, you know, deep, dark aura on my photographs. It's usually quite sort of, my photos, I think they're quite active. I don't
energetic.
Know, there's, I like when there's a lot going on and I love when there's a bit of humorous side to it and sort of, and all of this with the common denominator of the editing style. That's probably why you, when you see my photo, you know it's mine.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think consistency is a big thing from you, and I think you really focus on that, right? I think I remember talking to you once and you said, like, if a groom has a blue suit, when you look at that gallery afterwards, that blue needs to be the same blue all the way through the gallery.
Regardless the light. That's right. If you're a studio photographer, if you're a commercial photographer, you set up your own light, you kind of control the scene. With us being wedding photographers, we kind of follow the events of the day. And sometimes we can obviously use flash and sort of create a little bit of light from our side. But often the scene is already there for us. And the question is, what are we going to do with it? So yes, the suit can look blue or it can look dirty grey, or it can look pink if it's a fluorescent pink light somewhere. So yes, in my editing, I try to kind of always bring it back to how it actually looked to the eye.
I remember. Aga is my favourite photographer in the world ever, times 8. Is that right, Aga?
Why is it time nine?
Well, yeah, as you say, everything you've just mentioned is the colors, the excitement, the happiness, all captured consistently, which is, for me, is like what appeals to me, how I find wedding photographers as amazing is consistency.
Yeah.
I think it's the hardest thing.
It's the hardest thing. And do you know what? It's quite funny because when you're in the industry, or even you, Rob, like you shot... Was it one or two weddings that you've
Three
photographed
now.
So far?
Woo-hoo.
Three. My goodness, you're a base.
I'm on a roll.
Pro. You're a pro.
Watch out, guys.
So you see, you can probably tell by now, three weddings in the bag, you can tell. Who can't tell is the couples, right?
Yes.
So our clients and people who are just like mildly interested in photography, these guys can't tell what consistency even is. And you know what? It took me... Years, good several years by the time I've realized how inconsistent my own galleries were. And obviously that realization was followed by what am I going to do about it and how am I going to make it consistent? And obviously then you come to the point of, do I want to sacrifice the time and make it consistent, or do I just accept that it's inconsistent and clients don't see and don't care and all is all going to be fine?
Yeah.
So obviously I was one of the first group. I said to myself, right, this can't be, I'm a professional. And every single photo that gets delivered to my clients, not just the ones that I put on my website, not just the ones that I, you know, upload to Facebook or Instagram, but every single shot needs to be, I need to be behind it. My brand needs to be behind it. And my spot on editing needs to be there as well.
Yeah.
And that's tough to do because you end up, yeah, spending a very long time in Lightroom and not everybody wants to.
Yeah. But that's that's your USP.
And I love it. That's my, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. When I speak to couples before they book me, I try to make it a point to them that that's the difference. That's the reason why they should book me, obviously. I try to send them full galleries as well to make them realize, because when you see a full set unrolling in front of your eyes, full set of 800 photos, and they all crystal clear and beautiful with spot on colors, it kind of like, hopefully, right? Hopefully. I don't know. I've not been amateur for so long. I don't really know how non-photographers see photos anymore. It's funny, isn't it?
We can't
tell.
Yeah,
it's very true. But people do.
Many don't.
Yeah, many don't. But yeah, they're not going to book you either, are they?
That's okay.
Yeah,
because
of course.
I only need 25 people who do.
Exactly.
Pay.
Forget all the other wedding photographers, your friends, your family. Just those 25 people. That's all the matter, right?
Exactly. Exactly that.
Yep.
Exactly.
Keep them happy. Yeah.
Totally.
Good work, guys. Good work.
My take on it.
So, Aga, what would a 21-year-old Aga tell Aga today?
Stop worrying. That's what I would say to myself. I really would. I think I have a tendency to kind of overthink and over worry. And it gets better with age. So I'm 30. How old am I? 37?
You're the same age as me.
I'm 37.
You're both pups.
I love that, how you ask yourself.
Because, I really don't know. I don't care anymore, you know?
I do exactly the same thing. Nikki, what age am I?
I only know because I had 40 cards, saying 40.
You do know. But you know when you hit the decade spot, you do
know. That's when you know.
And then you forget till the next decade, But I don't know about you guys, but I actually really love getting older. My life hasn't hit that point when I'm like looking back thinking, oh, my skin was so smooth. Oh, my body was so slim. You know, it's still like, I really love the kind of change in personality that, that happens when somebody grows up properly.
Exactly.
And I love that I'm way more ballsy and I don't care about things that shouldn't
Absolutely.
Be cared about. So looking back, you know, about all the things that I was worried and all the things that were stopping me from doing the things that I wanted to do, I would totally
Knowledge
trying
is
to
power.
Kind of, yeah, I would try to convince myself to kind of, yes, stop overthinking and just go for it.
Awesome.
Because life is just, yeah, just
too
one
short.
And short.
Way too
yeah.
short.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's fantastic.
Enjoy, have fun.
How about you, Dan? What would you say?
I can't remember when I was 21. It's way too long ago.
I would have basically said, stop drinking.
And I definitely
feel like, when you think about 21-year-old self, do you feel like it was somebody else?
Totally.
I feel like it was somebody else. I don't even resonate with that person
When
anymore.
I was 21, I thought I was a grown-up and I thought I was wise and I thought I knew.
Yeah, you do. You do. Yeah.
But no.
You realize that we sound like a bunch of old aunties here.
It's true.
I was busy playing rugby and getting drunk, I think, at 21 and not caring about anything.
Yeah, just that's one thing. The amount of alcohol you could put away at that age is truly astonishing.
I see. There you go.
Yeah, I've seen Aga on a train after 4 days and 9 knots. Remember, I saw you on the train.
We were destroyed. Do you know what? I found that photo recently. I was looking through my phone, iPhone backup, and that shot of us on the train is there. And man, we are very weak. We are looking very weak.
I was walking down the train with the biggest 4 day hangover, and all I could see down the end of this train was this
orange head, was it? Yeah.
With hands over her head. And I was like, that's 100% Aga. No one else has got that hair. And then, I was like, move over. And we just basically slept on each other's shoulders and cried, I think.
I think we might have cried. Yes. And do you know what? I wasn't even going to go to the party. I was going to take a train back home. That was my plan. I just kind of wanted to show up, say hi to everybody and leave. The party was too good to go.
And they are genuinely the best parties that you'll ever have. Yeah, the ones where you turn up going, I'm just going to have one or two. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to stay long.
I'll just show up,
They are the best. The best.
Unplanned.
Unplanned.
And they have been very good each year, in fairness.
Yeah.
So I'm considering there's 150 people who technically don't know each other on the first day, 4 days later, they're like best friends, jumping up and down.
It's
like,
a very specific sort of a bond. Gets created,
One of the coolest things that I experienced at the party was, you know, you're at a photographer's gathering or whatever, when you're doing the selfies in the nightclub where it's all dark and then everyone else grabs their phones and lights up the subjects.
And gives you the light. I
thought that was absolutely just amazing when I saw that first. Yeah. It's like, brilliant.
We need a lighting technician.
Oh man, it's so good, so good.
Right, Aga, let's get back to seriousness. If you looked like me for 7 minutes, what would you do first?
Well, I'd fill my own chest.
Fantastic. That's what I'd do if I was you too. No. Right, let's stop this.
Cut out.
No, keep it in. More juicy bits. Yeah, people love the juicy bits.
Most juicy bits, yeah.
So me and you, ran a workshop together once with another lad.
Twice, didn't we, really? Properly
Norway
once. Yeah.
And Cheltenham. Yeah. Cheltenham. So out of everything, what advice would you give to somebody starting off?
Wow.
To Rob, say, who's done 3 weddings then.
What advice?
How would you help?
What advice? You don't know how crap you are. No, that wasn't specifically to Rob. No, that's this is again to the 21-year-old self, all right? Practice as much as you possibly can and stay humble, because you really are ahead of a long road and you're going to be looking back laughing. But at the time, wherever you are, you think, oh, it's not bad. Oh, I know a lot worse ones. I'm not doing too bad. Hold your horses.
Do it silently.
Hold your horses, because we are suffering from a lot of overconfidence in the industry coming from all sorts of angles. And it's not a good thing for the collective of photographers. It's not good. No, it doesn't reflect back on the person that's doing it.
Exactly.
I find that the best people, and this industry has proven it as well, the best people out there are also the humblest.
Without a doubt. That's great advice.
Don't eat humble pie.
So, Aga, room, desk or car, which of those would you clean first?
Room, because I can't do anything if the room is messy, especially in my new lovely house.
I'm pretty sure there's nothing
like
messy in your new lovely house.
Yeah. No, there's not. I've been there, I've seen it. Aga, you photographed an amazing, amazing wedding in India.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I did.
Which people need to check out, because it's on your blog, right?
Yes. I think it's on my homepage, actually.
Yeah, it took you about 2 years to post it, though, no?
Funny you said that. I am going to use this lockdown time to finally publish some work.
But yeah, your India blog. So photographing an India wedding, how many days? Because they're usually more than one, right?
Yes, we were there for 11 days, but the wedding events were spread out over 8 days.
Wow.
And they wouldn't be whole day. They would be like, you know, a couple of hours in the morning on the Monday, and then afternoon, say 4 p.m. onwards on a Tuesday, followed by a party till the morning light. Then Wednesday, people would be resting. And then Thursday, we are on the buses going to Himalayas.
and on
Friday, we are... doing something else. It was absolutely bonkers. I think photos really show it, the kind of the variety of events and outfits. You know, there were countless outfit changes.
The colors are amazing.
There were themed events. Incredible. It was like an adventure like no other. Nothing like this ever going to happen to us again. It was just so, it was too good to be true.
You reached the pinnacle.
It was so good. Heights. It was so good. Yeah.
Me and Tim Bishop did one in Dubai, an Indian wedding over 5 days, which is pretty similar. And the thing I loved the most, that everybody thought they were a photographer, like all the guests, all the family, because there's a few hundred. Yeah. So everybody's in there fighting for a photograph. Yeah, if you stood back and just looked at it, you'd think, what's going on? But amazing. The people, just so nice. Oh, and every time there was food, they would make us eat first.
Yes,
we need our energy, they said.
They would look after you like if you were their own child. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Incredible.
So you were canopy stealing without the guilt.
Do you know I once had a Farnham Castle, I believe?
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of near the bride and groom, and then the wedding coordinator came up to me and he was quite noisy, so I didn't know what she said. So I said, sorry, can you say that again? And she was holding this tray of canapes, which looked pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So I said, sorry, what did you say? And she told me again, and I didn't hear her again. So I just thought she was offering me a canapé. So I took the canapé.
I know where this is going. Go on.
I put it in my mouth, and she went, no.
That's for the bride and groom. Classic.
Too late.
Great.
Luckily the bride and groom were great and just laughed. So, yeah. Just take the picture next time.
Well, I was once invited to the room where, like, in the separate room, they had the buffet laid out and all the guests were sat down and all the food was laid out. And I thought, I misheard. I didn't know that they were sort of mumbling something. And, you know, English is my second language. Like, if you want to speak to me, you better look me in the face and speak up, okay? And they like called us into this room, and I thought that they were saying, oh, grab yourself some food before everybody comes in, because we were like getting ready for speeches. And we went there, picked up a plate, and before sort of reaching for anything, we were massively told off, like properly. It was really unpleasant, actually.
You were told really off?
I think, yeah, massively, for like even thinking that I was invited to take food. Yeah, I remember that after that, I think I actually ended up not eating at all. Because eventually, you know, afterwards they did say, oh, all the guests had theirs, so now you can have some scraps. But I was actually feeling too not offended, but just like, it was unpleasant. It was an unpleasant experience.
That's when you got to switch off and go.
Yes. But you got to carry on and do the job. Yeah, totally.
Is there something you're not good at on a wedding day, Aga?
No.
Boom. That's the answer we were looking for.
I am
amazing. Are you kidding me? I'm a pro.
I'm good at
everything.
I like it.
Tell you what
I'm not good at. I'm not good at staying hydrated. I don't remember about things like keeping the fuel going, and I end up absolutely exhausted by the time the meal comes. They all sit down and you have a break, and then I realize, shit, I probably haven't really eaten anything for the last, you know, 10 hours, and I've been running like a headless chicken all day.
Yeah,
but no, do you know what? I struggle working in dark, low ceiling spaces, I must say. So like, you know, I love my flash setups, but when there is not enough space to actually set up, that's the kind of scenario when, like, at the back of my head, I just go, okay, this isn't going to look good. I'm going to have to fix it in editing. Thankfully, I know how. So Dan, how many weddings have you shot by now?
How many weddings have I shot? Over 200.
Wouldn't it be more? Didn't you shoot like 60 per year?
No, not quite. 59.
Not quite that. Right.
59.999. I'm probably over that. I haven't counted. But quite a few now. I can also tell you, what I do know is how many I've shot this year.
Go on.
Three.
I shot two in January. They were amazing.
I had one cancelled in Switzerland. I was going over to see Rob again.
Jeez, guys, you want to be careful. I'm gonna catch up to you very soon. I've got one in a couple of months.
Rob, how many weddings have you shot in 2020?
I've got one.
We're on a roll. Two and three. One, two and three.
And you think it's happening?
That's the problem. Yeah, it's in Italy.
Mm. Well, didn't you hear? They like announced that there's going to be no weddings for a year.
Oh, really?
In Italy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, Italy bans weddings for 2020. I saw a headline like this somewhere.
Ooh, okay.
Fact check it in case I'm talking rubbish.
Yeah.
The wedding will go ahead and Rob will be in Switzerland. Where are you? Mr. Cameraman, where are you? Like I said, they've all been cancelled.
We'll just do it over Zoom.
How can we finish with a big question to finish? What? Say au revoir. What's a nice question for you, Aga?
Yeah, Aga.
I don't know. You could ask me question.
Where do you see yourself in 20 years?
No, because the answer is really boring. I just want everything to carry on the way it has been. And I'm a happy person in my life and I've got no big sort of taking over the world plans, you know?
Cut, that'll be used. Maybe, thanks.
Yeah. Maybe that's good, actually. Maybe that's not bad. You know, it's not exactly an exciting sort of thing to say. But it's true. It's totally true. I would not be able to make anything up here.
Okay,
it's got to be something else.
My final question would be, on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you?
Ooh, well, I don't think am I? I don't know.
That's a 10.
I think I'm a 3. I think I'm pretty regular and boring. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'd say 4.
Yeah. I describe myself with various adjectives, but weird wouldn't be one of them.
Fair enough.
We're all weird, right? We're all weird. Weird's a good trait, anyway. It's good to be weird.
In some way, everybody's weird because there isn't such thing as normal. But also, there are properly weird characters. Like cool and fun. And I'm just
in the wedding photography industry?
Just the regular self. And beyond, everywhere, right? Tell you what, going for people's weddings sometimes, I think, oh my God, they're so amazing. There's so much going on in their lives. They've done so much. They've been in so many places. There's so many, you know, friends. If I was getting married, it would be so boring. You know? I get proper crushes on people who I photograph because they seem such amazing subjects. And I can't help but compare.
It is a great part of the job.
To be fair, Aga, if you had myself and Dan as guests, which you surely will.
Absolutely. Yeah. In my imaginary wedding, yeah.
Surely I'll be best Dan.
And I can be Uncle Bob.
Uncle Bob and Best Dan.
I mean, to be fair, if you've got myself and Dan on the guest list, you could have your wedding in a barn and it'll be fine. Just have it at your home, live Instagram it. That'll be classy.
Right. Like a barbecue wedding.
Hey, it's Wales. Don't get too carried away.
Barbecue wedding. Yeah, build the little gazebo above it. It's a small garden, so it'll cover it. And even if it rains, you just crack on, get drunk.
I'm in.
Crack on. You've been in Wales too just long. Crack on.
Danny boy, have you got any final questions for Aga? Because we have completely absorbed her time this afternoon.
No, I've had enough of her.
Yeah.
I'm done for another year now. See you next year. Bye, Aya.
Exactly. No. Yeah, I'm running out of memory here on my 10 terabyte hard drive.
We just need to catch up, obviously, in person when it's all done and dusted. And have some fun.
And I'm hoping we can shit together as well.
We can what?
Excuse me? What did you say?
What the hell did you hear? You dirty man.
I heard the same thing as him.
Yeah. It's like you said, this is a time and a place and it's for another podcast. There's no way that's getting edited out. No way.
there's a toilet roll shortage anyway, so we're going to struggle.
Right, I think we'll say goodbye. Aga, it has been an absolute pleasure. We knew it would
be. Total treat.
You totally
did. Thank you, Aga. Treat. You're a star.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed, please subscribe to the podcast.